friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy New Year and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, will hold its annual awards ceremony next Tuesday, January 8th, in Dakar, Senegal. The big trophy to be presented in Dakar is the CAF Player of the Year Award. The three finalists, who all play in England's Premier League, are Arsenal striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon, who won the award in 2015, and Liverpool teammates Sadio Mane of Senegal and Mohamed Salah of Egypt, who was named the 2017 African Footballer of the Year. Chinna Achiru is a sports journalist based in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Chinna said the Arsenal and Liverpool players deserve to be on the three-man shortlist.
I think these are the best three. Incidentally, it's about the same three for last year. But these are the best three. I mean, you look at the African players in Europe, that's where the best football is played these days. And there are no better players than Mane, Salah, and Aubameyang. So they got it right. I mean, it was spot on for them.
No Nigerian player eventually made it. Initially, Alex Iwobi's name was there. What's your reaction to that too?
I think Nigerian players will get it right at some point. I mean, there was a time that for decades, there was no Nigerian player winning it. Then suddenly we had the likes of Rashidi Yekini, Emmanuel Amunike, and the rest, you know, taking turns, Victor Ekpeba, and all. With Iwobi, Wilfred Ndidi, we have a bright future. So there may be no Nigerian in the final shortlist for this year, but I'm sure in the next 2 or 3 years, we'll have Nigerians winning the award.
What other potential do you see in Nigerian players winning the award, apart from those who missed it this year and last year?
You look at the players we have in Europe, because he was based in Europe, and who are the bright young players coming up? Wilfred Ndidi, Alex Iwobi. For the goals that Ojo Ighalo scored during the year, you would have said he should have been maybe in the final five, but maybe the Chinese League was not reckoned with. But the brightest light in the Nigerian team for now are these two, Iwobi and Wilfred.
Let's look at the CAF Women's Player of the Year. Two Nigerians made the final list, Asisat Oshoala, Francesco Dega, and Tembi Katadlama of South Africa. What's your take on the list?
It's difficult in the women's game because, unlike the men, there's not much focus in their game. Now, apart from when there's an Africa Women Championship or Africa Women Cup of Nations, we hardly know what these women do in club side level. But you look at these three names. For Asisat Oshoala, she didn't have a bright Nations Cup, so she's probably there on, should I say, reputation. But she has done well. She deserves to be in the final three. For Tembi, the South African, wonderful time at the Nations Cup, top scorer, MVP. She certainly deserves to be there. For Francisca Aldega, here and there, but deserving of that position. So for the women game, for Asisat, she has won the last 2 editions and 3 in all, so certainly she has a chance of winning it. I don't know if, but you look at it, it's a nice short list. It's a very nice short list, yes.
Looking at the crystal ball, whom do you predict or tip to win the men's player of the year, and whom do you tip to win the women's player of the year?
For the men, I can't look further than Mohamed Salah. Now, incidentally, these three players did not win anything this past year. None of them won any trophies this past year, but they've done well for their clubs. But for Salah, they are both attacking players, and you have to look at the goals, and Salah has been the most prolific of them. You know, so I can't look beyond Salah. For the women, like I said earlier, if it's based on reputation, Asisat Oshoala might just win it again. But look at Tembi Katadlama of South Africa. She did so well at the Africa Women Cup of Nations, and we all watched that one. Top scorer, MVP. If I had the sole right to choose the winner, I'll go for the South African.
That's Chinna Achiru, a sports journalist based in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Our VOA football fans will remember the CAF Awards in Dakar next week are for performances in 2018. But if we look at the current 2018-2019 Premier League statistics, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Mohamed Salah, and Sadio Mane are once again having excellent seasons. Arsenal man Aubameyang is the EPL's joint top scorer, with Tottenham's Harry Kane with 14 goals. And the dynamic Liverpool duo of Mo Salah and Sadio Mane have combined for 21 goals so far this season. Salah has 13 and Sané has 8. Getting back to Harry Kane, he was the top scorer at the 2018 World Cup in Russia, where he tallied 6 goals for England. On Tuesday, Kane's third-minute goal set Tottenham on its way to a 3-0 win at Cardiff. The prolific England striker now has scored against all 28 teams he has faced in the Premier League. In Thursday night's only Premier League match, Manchester City is hosting top-of-the-table Liverpool. And my VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with a preview. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Man City manager Pep Guardiola addressed reporters on Wednesday and said last season's 5-0 win against Liverpool could inspire his players to get themselves ready for Thursday's match.
Last season we beat them 5-0 here, so but doesn't count. I know that. So it's Liverpool, my friends. So is United the best team in England in all history? So it's Liverpool. So of course can beat us. So yeah, but also we can beat them. So I know today nobody trusts us. Nobody make one coin for us. I know that, but it's what it is. So they are in top form. They are. In that moment, for me, the best team in Europe, in the way they play, in the consistency, and they control all the details in their game. So, but it's a good challenge for us. So we're going to reduce the gap, focusing in what we have to do to win the game. Everybody's asking what happened if same we lose. Now what happened if we win? So we're going to try as a football game what we have to do.
Well, Man City will have to give it their best shot. In response to last season's 5-0 defeat, Liverpool went on to claim a 4-3 victory at Anfield 4 months later to hand City their first defeat of the last campaign. Liverpool currently sits at the top of the Premier League standings, and they remain undefeated. Man City, however, has lost 3 of their last 5 league games and currently sit at number 3, just behind Tottenham. And although Liverpool has a 7-point lead over Man City, Pep Guardiola says don't give up on his team yet.
Our reality is clear, so we have 7 points down. So it will be the second game of the second leg. So a lot of points to play. I have the feeling it's a big opportunity for us, you know, of course, to reduce the gap. But focus is the same. So everybody asking me the last days about what's going to happen. If you lose. You know, everybody counts, we are going to lose. But we are going to try to make our game. To win it, to be there and fight as far as possible, our chance to fight for the Premier League.
Last October, the two teams met in a goalless draw at Anfield, and Pep says he considers Thursday's game to be the second leg of the knockout clash. He outlined what City needs to do to beat Liverpool.
Well, be relaxed against Liverpool will be a mistake, I think so. We have to be aggressive without the ball, be ourselves. Like always, we speak about that. Everybody take responsibility and be ourselves. At the end, it's just a football game, a nice game. Everybody's going to watch. It's a pleasure to be there. It's what you have to do.
Pep also gave an update on midfielder Kevin De Bruyne, who on Sunday missed City's 3-1 win at Southampton due to a muscle injury. Pep says De Bruyne has been in training and will undergo a late fitness test ahead of their match against Liverpool. And keep in mind, if City wins Thursday night, they will narrow Liverpool's lead to 4 points. If Liverpool wins, they will increase the gap to 10. And we'll let you know on Friday's show. And that's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. We look forward to your next Press Conference USA program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to American-style football, this is a tough and tenuous time to be a National Football League coach. VOA's Jim Stevenson will tell us why, but first, how about a little holiday music?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Not for many coaches in the National Football League who meet the end of the regular season with an end to their job.
Well, obviously these are always the tough days in the NFL.
The annual coaching purge has kicked into high gear with the familiar phrases heard at this time of the year.
Probably one of the toughest decisions I've made.
Have to let a coach go is always difficult.
It is incredibly difficult. I admire the man.
He's worked his tail off.
And he worked his tail off.
We're trying to find the right guy for our situation.
And we did not get that done.
Things didn't go the way we all hoped.
Ultimately, it was not good enough. We didn't win enough games.
I didn't deliver what your number one goal is, and that's to be world champions.
Heading into the 2019 offseason, there will be at least 8 National Football League teams looking for a new coach, and that number could jump even higher. For the third time in 4 years, it's the 2 best teams playing for college football's national championship, and it is again Alabama versus Clemson. Nick Saban is seeking a 3rd title in that time span and a record 7th overall. But he says the past means nothing right now.
I really think too much about what's happened in the past. Just the challenges of, you know, be where your feet are and what's happening right now. So, and I'm sure Clemson will be a tremendous challenge for our team.
Saban's Crimson Tide built a 28-0 lead over the Oklahoma Sooners in the semifinal at the Orange Bowl in Florida. Then Alabama had to hold off a furious comeback to win 45-34.
Once we got ahead 28-0, where we had a few penalties, stopped ourselves a couple times, they took advantage of those opportunities and got themselves back in the game. But it was no surprise to me at all that they were able to make some plays that got them back in the game.
Clemson cruised to a 30-3 win over Notre Dame in the other semifinal, played at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Tigers head coach Dabo Swinney.
We had 6 sacks, which I believe is a bowl record, and that we held them 88 yards rushing. You know, so the big thing for us was you can't stop the run, you ain't winning these games. It's just that simple.
While Clemson entered the game with 3 players suspended for a positive drug test, Swinney said his team remained composed.
Nobody flinched. You know, we're confident in Albert, confident in Niles, confident in Jordan, and Dexter did a great job of kind of putting on a coaching hat and being a great teammate.
Swinney says Clemson is ready to face all the big teams, including Alabama.
We make every game the biggest game of the year. We really do. And so when you get to these moments, it's just kind of another game. You know, our Friday is we try to create as much routine as, and obviously when you're playing in these type, the margin for error is not very big, but we go into every week with that mindset. We really do.
While some fans are grumbling about the same 2 teams back in the national championship, it's clear to most people Alabama and Clemson are well above the rest of college football, and Swinney has his reasons.
We're a fun team because we've got this great veteran leadership, and then you just got this energy and enthusiasm and eagerness from some of these young guys.
Alabama's usually stoic Nick Saban actually smiled after winning in the Orange Bowl while tossing some of the fruit to excited fans in the stands.
Yeah, it was more fun throwing the oranges.
And speaking of oranges, thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that sweet sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics this new year, fans should keep their eyes on the reigning World and Commonwealth long jump champion from South Africa. So says the energetic Andy Edwards.
Someone whose goals are definitely realistic in track and field athletics is the South African Luvo Manyonga. This long jumper has bags of talent. He's already the African record holder, 8.65 meters. And now his target is the world record. And that is 8.95 meters. Vast jump. Mike Powell of the USA against the great Carl Lewis, fellow American, cooked up a storm at the 1991 World Championships in Tokyo. And I've been covering this sport so long, Sonny, I actually was there. And I remember that was one of the greatest nights I've ever experienced of world athletics, seeing Mike Powell break the long jump world record. Well, Manyonga says an aid to breaking this world record is the fact that he's not the only kid on the block. You know, there's the Cuban, Juan Miguel Echevarria, and he and Luvo Manyonga have a great rivalry, and Manyonga feels this will drive both of them to attack that great world mark, 8.95 meters, of Mike Powell.
Yeah, this is the time. Like, I've been waiting for someone to battle with to get that that world record, and I think this is the sign that there's a new kid on the block, and also is doing a good distances, and also when I needed someone to battle with to go over that 9 meter barrier.
Well, now you've got, among others, the Cuban Juan Miguel Echevarria. Is he a great incentive? He's jumping well. You are too, for this kind of rivalry.
Yes, definitely. Is I can slightly relate on the Mike Powell and Carl Lewis, but now it's like Luvo Manyonga and Juan. We're going for distances and we're not playing, you know. We compete to each other like in the highest level, you know. So I think this is the time that the world record must go down.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in London about the year in athletics. Andy, a world record that went down by a big margin was in the women's steeplechase. Beatrice Chepkoech of Kenya is the new world record holder by a massive 8 seconds. How do you rate her performance?
Well, amazing, I have to say, and I try not to use words like amazing and incredible, but it is almost Usain Bolt-like in its magnitude, because Beatrice Chepkoech, she's not just appeared from nowhere. She won a silver medal at the Commonwealth Games this April. She was a favourite going into the World Championship steeplechase last year, 2017, but didn't get a medal because she missed the water jump early on in the race and had to double back. And at world level, you know, you try, however good you are, you don't make up that margin. But as you say, Sonny, knocking 8 seconds off the world record for the women's steeplechase to run 8:44.32, that is stupendous. I wonder her rivals, and it's not just African women who are good in steeplechase. We've got good Americans and others very much to the fore. When they saw that time, they must have wondered, you know, how do we get close to Beatrice Chepkoech in future? Big question will be, can she get close to that mark again when we come to the summer outdoor season of 2019?
Andy, in September, you were packing your bags for Berlin, and you really had something special to report. Eliud Kipchoge's world record.
I've been to Berlin a lot of times. I mean, that's not being a show-off or arrogant. It's work that takes me there. I've seen the marathon. I first saw the marathon when it was in the divided city, so only in West Berlin, in 1988, after the Seoul Olympics. This undoubtedly was the greatest achievement I've seen in Berlin. Eliud Kipchoge to take 78 seconds, 1 minute 18, off Dennis Kimeto's 2 hours, 2 minutes and 57, and Kimeto ran that on the same Berlin course. Of course, we were all aware of Eliud Kipchoge's qualities. He'd won London earlier in the season, and he was going into Berlin 2018, had lost only one of his 11 marathons. And you thought, well, 2:02.57 is the target. Can he take 10 seconds off? Can he take five? But you know, nothing is for granted. Wilson Kipsang was in the race and he was talking a good race beforehand. But to take more than a minute off, and he was on his own for so much of the latter part of the race, that, not just physically, but mentally, so tough. Now, Eliud Kipchoge's manager is Jos Hermans from the Netherlands, himself a former world record holder as a distance runner, and their sports management team is Global Sports. Very interesting to read Jos Hermans' comments about Kipchoge during 2018, and to say that, in his view, Eliud is not a typical Kenyan in his approach. Now, you may say, well, look, Dennis Kimeto ran the world record before him. Wilson Kipsang did as well. What's the difference? And what Herman said, he said, well, if I write an email to Eliud and we're discussing training, Eliud will write 10 pages back to me with his thoughts on training. And it's the way Eliud Kipchoge, in his interviews as well, talks about the aspect of seeing himself as very much part of a team.
In sport, you need to have a good team. That's why I'm going with the discussion of when I'm going to run is I'm going to have a full discussion with the management, with the sponsor, with the technical team, or that's the coaching team. That's part of the team whereby they really hold me in their hands. Of course, to get a good team and a positive team, it takes ages, but I'm lucky and we are lucky as a global sports community to be helping people who are really thinking in a positive way. And we have come a long way. That's why we're helping our teammates, that wherever we're training together and we try to think together. We have a coaching system, we have management system, we have sponsorship systems, and above all, we have the medical system whereby they handle us with massage and everything.
That's Kenyan athlete Eliud Kipchoge, the reigning Olympic champion and world record holder in the marathon. And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for chatting with me about some of the highlights in African athletics in 2018. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Jacob Osaye sent me a Facebook message from Kafora Dua, Eastern Region of Ghana, and Jacob wants to know the whereabouts of three of my former Voice of America colleagues, Al James, Ashanafi Abeje, and Alan Silverman, whose voices were once heard on our VOA airwaves. Well, Jacob, I'm sad to report that Al and Ashanafi both passed away in recent years, and Alan Silverman is now retired. Thanks for writing, Jacob. And that reminds me, three other VOA broadcasters are also retiring. Sarah Williams, Stephen Norman, and Victor Beatty are saying goodbye to the Voice of America and our many listeners in Africa and all over the world. Sarah, Stephen, and Victor all worked on the VOA's International Edition radio program, and they'll be missed. Finally, in Major League Soccer news, the Los Angeles Galaxy have named Argentine Guillermo Barros Schelotto as their new head coach. The 45-year-old Schelotto coached Boca Juniors since 2016, winning two championships in Argentina's top division. Schelotto is well-versed with Major League Soccer. He played four seasons with the Columbus Crew from 2007 to 2010, and he was named the league's most valuable player in 2008. And that wraps up the January 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaite. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
A group of scientists say they have found a large array of ancient but still inhabited termite mounds in northeastern Brazil. Writing in a recent study, the researchers say there are about 200 million of these cone-shaped and evenly spaced piles of soil that cover an area equivalent to the size of Great Britain. The collection of these 2.5 meters high by 9 meters wide mounds is so vast that you can actually see them by using Google Earth. The researchers found evidence that the termite mounds are about 4,000 years old and that they are the result of continuous labor by generations of the occupying termite species excavating a vast network of interconnected underground tunnels. One of the study authors says that the amount of soil excavated by the termites is equivalent to 4,000 Great Pyramids of Giza. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two-Face.
NATO C. Hey. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is